We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a little bit of Augusta in everything we do.
I still wake up about three times a year in a cold sweat watching that thing go in.
This is AJ and Dusty on Masters Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
AJ and Dusty on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. There's a lot of really good sports movies that are coming in. On this, we were talking about which sports movie is better. That was released today. The Sandlot or Major League. I contend Major League is one of the best sports movies, period. Ever. Love it. And both the Sandlot and Major League were released on today. In sports history, in 1989 for Major League, 1993 for The Sandlot. I remember going to a friend's birthday party and seeing Sandlot in the theaters. That's the first time I saw it. Westgate Movie Theater in Beaverton. Do you have a movie that you remember? You vividly remember going to? It was one of the first. I don't know. Sandlot is one of them. Another one is Twister for some reason. I don't know why that one.
With Helen Hunt?
Yeah. I have no idea why. Honestly, that movie, I remember my memory from that is when I realized I had bad eyesight. A kid and I was like, my eyes are really bad. Like, I had problems focusing on a lot of things in that movie. I didn't go to an eye doctor for another at least 6 years.
Okay. Don't feel bad for you anymore.
Yeah. Well, hey. That's not on me. Blame my parents.
Did you tell them I can't see very well?
I just got through it. They figured that my eyes were okay because I was good at sports still.
Well, then.
All right.
I don't know that I have a movie.
You had the movie?
We didn't do movie theaters a lot as a family growing up.
I have two. One as a child and one as a college student. The child one was Independence Day. Dude, seeing Independence Day was insane. Like, that thing was packed. Like, it was a huge effing deal, and I was all for it. And then the second one was Superbad. And the reason was that, like, I saw it in college, and I remember we came in.
That's not a kid. You're not a kid.
I was going to say, if we have college, we had some traditions. Because when I was in college, there were Nicholas Sparks movies that came out, like, every 6 months, it seemed like. And so it was always And so we would always go to the movies at midnight with, like, our group of girls that we kind of hung out with. We would surf and we were the crew, whatever. And we would go to the movie at midnight in our pajamas with all of our snacks for every Nicholas Sparks movie. It became our tradition in college.
I respect that. Like, what, you would like show up to Dear John, like,
oh yeah,
just let's go, let's do this.
Yeah,
thing.
With like six college age girls at midnight.
You all had rosé in your Camelback backpacks hiding.
No, I don't think we ever snuck in alcohol, actually.
Oh.
I remember like in college, one of those movies, Anchorman. I went to Anchorman. Ah. Me and my roommates got soused and went to Anchorman. And we were crying.
Hawks, baby.
We were, what?
Just throw that in. Why not?
Why? But Anchorman was that one for me. And then Napoleon Dynamite was an independent film and it was in theaters. And I remember going to that after, like, and I was just like, what am I watching right now? And my friend's like, trust me, you're gonna think this is hilarious. And I just remember being there like,
I never fell into the Napoleon Dynamite craze. I was always like,
It was pretty funny once I realized kind of what I was getting myself into. But you know, that's a movie you did not want to walk blind into.
No.
I was like, are we serious? At the beginning, I was like, are we serious? Or
it wasn't one of my favorites.
What am I at here? Where are we at?
If you go back and watch that movie, it's really funny when they when they have the campaigns, right, with Summer and the other guy.
Pedro,
yeah. And that Pedro, for a campaign event, does a pinata of Summer. Kids are just beating the crap out of it.
The only person that I knew in that movie was Rex Kwon-do from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, sweet, Rex Kwon-do. This guy's going to be awesome in it. And he was only in it for a little bit. It was like a cameo.
And it was freaking hilarious.
And I thought, when you don't know what the movie's about, I'm like, oh, so he's going to star in this movie. This is going to be awesome.
All right, try to kick me. Try it. No, down.
Nope.
Just hits him in the face.
Blocked.
All right, sit down.
Blocked. Yeah. All right. Let's talk some baseball, shall we? Poll question is up. That's why we brought this back up. At 1080 the fan on Twitter.
We need a sound effect for when we go off the rails.
Yes. Which baseball movie is better that was released today? Major League or Sandlot?
On this day, not today.
Yeah,
on this day.
On this day.
That's important.
Uh-huh. One in 89, the other in 93. All right, so go vote on that. Is baseball finally starting to figure out what attracts young people? This is a good question here, because with Nike taking over the baseball uniforms, they didn't want to rock the boat early in their partnership with Major League Baseball. But yesterday they just said, screw it. we're gonna rip the Band-Aid off and take one of the most iconic looks in baseball and completely change it. Because they unveiled a city edition of the Boston Red Sox yesterday. And boy, is old baseball guy pissed off about this one.
Very upset.
They went yellow and baby blue for the Boston Red Sox city edition jerseys. And I don't hate them.
Oh, I love them.
Do you?
I love them. I love them. So what I really liked is Nike in this, you know, unveiling or whatever, told the whole story behind it, which is a 3-year process. They figured it out.
Of course it was a 3-year process. Of course, it's always, we went deep into this.
So neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
The point being, it took a while, but it's not just a random, oh, here's yellow and baby blue. It is a reflection of the Boston Marathon. Those are the colors in the Boston Marathon. There's a racing bib on the sleeve of the jersey. The font is very similar to the marathon. They're going to come out with them on April 17th, which is right around Patriots Day, big holiday in the city of Boston. Yep. And so the whole point of these is it's connecting you to the city, right? So City Connect, that's what the jerseys are called.
Mm-hmm.
There are few more iconic things to any city in the world than the Boston Marathon. The Boston Marathon is one of those global people pay attention to the Boston Marathon.
And with the bombing happening, you know, several years ago and the impact in that day in Patriots mm-hmm. Day and the connection with the Boston Marathon, it means that much more to the city. And you mentioned Patriots Day. That's a huge day there where they usually try to get they try to make it work where you have the Red Sox, the Celtics mm-hmm. and the Bruins all playing. It's usually when this is a total like smug thing to say, but when the Patriots win their Super Bowls, they usually have like a mini trophy day where they bring out the trophy at the Red Sox
because
game.
It happens enough that they can do it regularly.
Yeah, right. But that is something that they usually do. But what happened is they took red out of it completely. An old school baseball fan and Red Sox fans like, how could you do that to the Sox?
Because this is a calculated decision.
It really is.
This is a calculated decision. You are not going to lose your average baseball fan, who, by the way, is 57 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to lose them over wearing this jersey a handful of games a year. But what you did do was intrigue the younger baseball fan who may not have cared about your traditionalist Red Sox colors. And the reason Nike did this, they had the blueprints in the NBA. A few years ago, they came out with the Miami Vice jerseys. Best-selling jersey in the NBA in a few years.
Now, the Miami Vice ones are sweet.
They're very sweet.
Whatever ones they have now
are not. We disagree on this.
They are not.
We disagree.
They're halvesies.
I think they're cool.
They're half pink and half
Which is exactly what the Vice ones were from a few years ago in the colors. They just weren't as loud.
Yeah, okay. I tend to agree with AJ on this. I think it's cool. I think it's something different.
I think they're the worst uniforms I've ever seen. The new Miami Heat ones. Like, they are, it's horrible. Like, the white jersey, the true Miami Vice ones, which were white and pink and blue, you know, and mm-hmm. it was kind of subtle. It looked like Miami Vice. Those are kick-ass. What they did now is like, colors, throw it out there.
I will say
it'll go down like the Adidas fanny packing. Remember when Adidas put Kansas?
It will not.
Oh yeah, when they put Kansas in fanny pack uniforms, those were horrific.
Well, that's fine, but I don't think it's gonna go down like that.
Now you know that Will, like, being on Will's side is a wrong thing. When Will just goes, those were tight.
Those were tight. Those were awesome.
I think this is good on baseball. They have to figure out something because, like I said, their average TV viewer, 57 years old. The NBA fan averages 15 years younger. You have to draw in the younger fan. And the Mariners did this a few years ago when they had the cutoff jerseys, which were the future jerseys.
Yeah.
I like them.
And they wear shorts.
Call me crazy. I think it's fun. I think it's good on baseball to finally try something different because this sport is not going anywhere that they want to go. It is... People are losing interest. The younger generation could not care less, despite having really great talent around the league, and mix it up.
Yeah, because what are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? Like, Red Sox fans are not going to stop being Red Sox fans because you're wearing yellow and powder blue jerseys for a day, right? And the Red Sox are not going to turn to yellow and powder blue for a majority of their games. It's going to be the one-off. It's going to, one, attract a younger audience who says, those are pretty cool, and they'll go and buy merch. And two, it's going to, you're not going to lose the fans that were already there. And then the third one is, like, look, it's a revenue stream for baseball. Like, you're going to make money off of it. That's the whole goal. And this is where, like, the Nike doing, I always love it was a 3-year vision that we had. It doesn't matter if it's Nike or Adidas or Under Armour. They have, like, this big story about what they made it and how it was made. It's like, no, you wanted to rebrand and make more money. That's cool. That is good enough reason because if it looks cool, it will sell. And these are pretty sweet. And what I love is that they're going to roll them out and keep kind of young people on their toes by putting out a new one every couple of weeks now in across baseball.
Because isn't the Red Sox, aren't they the first of 7 teams to get these jerseys?
Yeah.
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 I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. And like this text says, the Mariners wore their future jerseys in like 97. That was awesome. As a kid then, I thought that was sweet. And that roped me in. And those were when they played the future game against the Kansas City Royals. Like that was awesome to see when I was a kid. Like, I'm looking back on it now, the Mariners ones aren't bad. The Royals ones were hideous, but the Mariners looked sweet with the cutoff jerseys, the oversized logo. Ken Griffey Jr. got to wear his hat backwards. As a kid, that made me watch it even more than I already was.
And I felt like that threw back to the nostalgia of baseball. That threw back to, hey, if you're going to go play pickup baseball with your friends, go do an adult league or whatever, that's what you're going to wear.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wear an oversized t-shirt, your cap on backwards. And I liked it. I love the story. I think regardless of whether it took 3 years or not, I get that they probably have to say that. But I think you draw in younger fans by having a story, by connecting with a fan base that wouldn't normally be connected to baseball. Boston Marathon is something that the entire city of Boston gets around. And I think it's a smart move to try and draw in the city.
I can't wait to see what other ones they have out there. And the Mariners, when they went to the future games, that was cool. They brought them back a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When they went to old school uniforms and they brought back the creams and in the more royal blue, the true blue, that was cool to bring back and brought in a younger audience. Like, there's nothing wrong with mixing up your uniforms. And I think the baseball franchises that do it, the Padres have done a really good job of this in their rebrand, is whether it's camo that they wear on Sundays because of Camp Pendleton, or actually bringing back brown uniforms and making them look somewhat cool. Like, they've done a really good job with their rebrands and not being committed to just kind of stick in the mud. It will be fascinating to see, like, because they're going to do it with the Cubs. Mm. They're going to do it with, you know, legendary brands. I don't see the Yankees really changing much of anything
Are the Yankees one of those cities that are
I don't
doing?
Know if they're going to do it this year, but
I'm sure they will.
Eventually, every team will get it, they said. Yeah. And I doubt it'll be anything extreme. But if you're a team like the Mets, what would you have to lose? Like, just do it. Because the Yankees are the iconic and classic brand in New York. Go do something different. Mm-hmm. The Angels should do the exact same thing. Go extreme with it because you know the Dodgers won't. And that's how you can kind of make your mark and put a stamp on it.
I like it. It's marketing. At the end of the day, it's very good marketing.
Yeah.
We're talking about it. Would we have talked about baseball otherwise today?
You want to talk about Fernando Tatis's shoulder? Because he's on the 10-day IL.
I know. It's really sad.
Well, people that he's like going to need surgery, but
yeah, it didn't look
they're not
good.
Looking like he's going to. So, hey, look at that. Baseball talk. Got it.
Twice.
Without leadership, the Pac-12 actually seems a lot more productive. Weird. AJ Dusty on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It seems as if the Pac-12 is starting to become a far more productive entity now that Larry Scott is on the way out. First sign was, the NCAA tournament going so well for the Pac-12. Pretty good having three of the final eight teams from your conference.
In the men's and then two of your women's in the natty.
Yeah, playing for the national title was good and you won a national title. Well, now you have the Pac-12, according to John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. And then like Sean Miller getting candid Arizona. You know, after, 4 years of embarrassment, now you're sitting there like, we're going to do the right thing. But you have John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News saying that the Pac-12 is primed to pass legislation for a free transfer within the conference. Essentially, interconference transferring, you will not be forced to sit out a year. That was a mandatory rule by the conference. So, if anywhere else that you transfer, you can get a waiver from your school and boom, that's done. And you can transfer play immediately if the waiver is signed or whatever. Well, now they're saying that the Pac-12 is ready to waive that. And I love that. I think it is long overdue that athletes have the freedom to transfer from school to school at least one time and get yourself a freebie. And you don't have to sit out a year and waste a year of your time on campus and your education to sit out because for whatever reason, the previous school didn't work out for you.
And this is different conference to conference, right? Mm-hmm. So the SEC, you can't do this.
No, well, the SEC can block your transfer, I believe, from one institution to the other. The ACC is the only other conference that is doing what the Pac-12 is doing right now.
See, and this is where this should be viewed as a win, not only for the student athletes, because you're getting recruited, I would imagine. I mean, you guys got recruited in football more than I did. So you could probably answer this better. But I would imagine that if you're choosing a Pac-12 school, a lot of times you're choosing between other Pac-12 schools. And so it would be nice to have, let's say you have a coaching change while you're there. Well, that's a valid reason for a student athlete to want to change schools. And it's nice that they're not being punished by forcing them to use an extra year of eligibility. And nationally, you like to see the Pac-12 sort of do something, be the first or one of the first to something. I know the ACC has already done this, but when you're doing something that makes you more attractive to a student athlete than the SEC, in that you have a little bit more control over your future.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it is, because look, like, you're transferring in, I have no idea what it was like getting recruited by a Pac-12 school. So, Will does though. And so Will can answer that question. but the thing is that it is a regionalized thing though. I mean, usually, like, if you're a kid from Oregon, the teams that are going to recruit you the hardest and you're most familiar with are the ones you're near. Mm-hmm. So instead of being like, well, I'm going to go to Portland State or whatever, you have the opportunity to be like, well, hey, I chose Oregon, but I really liked what Cal had to offer. And I had a good relationship with those guys. And how often do we see, like, the final schools being Oregon, Washington, USC for any of the Pac-12 kids? Because they call it a Pac-12 footprint for a reason. It's where you recruit the most. And that's really hard for, especially out west. Like, back east and in the south, there are a lot of ACC schools near SEC schools, mm-hmm. and crossover in between those two. And look, there's SEC teams in the Big 12's footprint, you know, in, you know, Missouri and Texas, you have SEC schools. And so you're getting recruited. There's a lot of crossover. It really isn't that way out here as much. Elite prospects, of course, but they're elite.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the kids that, hey, we thought, you know, Johnny from Sunset High School, he was getting recruited by Oregon, Oregon State, and Washington State, and that was basically it, right? Well, he went to Washington State and said, no, I didn't like it there. Mike Leach left. Now I want to go and play for Jonathan Smith down at Oregon State. Well, that sucks, you know, and that's kind of tough luck. Or he really liked Nick Rolovich, but he was way down on the pecking order. And so he said, hey, I feel like I can get on the field at Oregon State, and I had a relationship there. That was something where those guys would have to sit out a year.
Yep.
Well, now, but here's the big caveat. The NCAA has to approve a one-time transfer first.
But didn't they say that this is expected?
It is expected on the NCAA's front.
Right.
And now the Pac-12 is just getting out of its own way for intra-conference transfers. And I think that's a great thing. I hope it goes. It's players should be able to get at least one free transfer, because I have firsthand experience. I went to University of Montana Western and it was a bad choice. I thought it was the right place for me to go. And I went, and look, there's a lot of kids that go to school. Like, I can't tell you how many kids that you went to, general population of students who you go to a school and you're like, it's not what I thought it would be here. And they get to leave.
Yep.
It could be the city, the weather, the people on campus and around campus, the actual education itself. There's a lot that goes into this. And when you're a freshman, you go, this isn't for me. I hate it here. And you want to leave.
And you think about how early student athletes, especially football players, all of them actually, are getting recruited, right? You have Keith Brown from Lebanon. He's getting recruited at 15, 16 years old. And I was just looking the places that he visited, or unofficially and officially, UCLA, Tennessee, Oregon State, Washington, Oregon.
One was out of the Pac-12.
One was out of the Pac-12. Now, if Mario Cristobal goes and leaves, I'm not saying he is, obviously. This is just whatever.
AJ McCord reporting.
No. But if Keith Brown commits to Oregon because of a coach, and then all of a sudden that coach leaves, and the new coach doesn't fit him into his system, right? We see that all the time where new coaches come in and they want their quarterback. They want their recruited guys. They have a different vision than the coach who just left, and players get left hanging out to dry.
I love this. Why should they get a free transfer? They get a redshirt year already. Choices have consequences. Do they for other students? Honestly, to that question I asked, do they for other students?
I looked at transferring my senior year simply because I wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, and that is, that's the thing is like, really ask yourself if like for one student to the other, why do you really not want that person to transfer? Why shouldn't that student athlete get the same advantages that everybody else does?
I have no defense for why they shouldn't. I think they absolutely should.
And that, like, if there is a compelling argument, except for choices have consequences, then I don't know what it is. Because, look, I could take, again, we could go back to, like, a music scholarship. If I have a music scholarship at Portland State, but I find out that, hey, I can have a better opportunity still getting a music scholarship at, you know, Oregon, why shouldn't I be able to do that? Like that, and every other, like a music student has that opportunity. Why shouldn't a student athlete? And I have not heard a compelling argument to that. It outside of, well, they're leaving, you know, my school or whatever.
Here's a question.
Okay.
College coaches, do they sit out a year after they take a new job?
They do not.
Huh.
But choices have consequences, and you signed a deal, but you're taking a new job and. You signed a contract that but that guy's getting paid for his contract that he's getting. Is the student athlete getting paid for his?
Nope.
Oh.
So this is great. I love this. I think the Pac-12 is setting themselves apart as one of the Power Five conferences. And truthfully, the Pac-12 can use all the help that they can get from a national perspective to stand out. And this is going to benefit that Pac-12 footprint that you talk about. This is going to benefit them, even within the elite prospects.
503-250-1080. That'd be the fan text line. Also, still need to get to it. Dame couldn't get it going last night, but he shouldn't have to tell his teammates that. Here's Will.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Damian Lillard, he got fired up last night. Norman Powell told reporters after the game, which was Norman the only guy that was made available?
He was the only player available, and they were having some video issues, so we didn't get to see him. We could only hear him.
Oh, weird.
Well, especially, and listen, I'm the last one to complain about technology because when technology doesn't work for me, I get super frustrated and like just put it away. And I'm like, well, there goes that robot or like there that vacuum or there goes whatever. So I'm not one to complain about technology. I'm not questioning whether the Blazers had that or not last night. But what I'm saying is it's really hard to you can hear what a player says and it is different when you can see them. There is an element of body language that gives context to what is being said, and Norman Powell said some things last night that I would have really liked to see his body language in relation to. We didn't get a chance to do that.
Like when he said Damian Lillard called them out in a huddle in the second quarter, right before they went on, what was the run that they went on? 17-3 or something like that? 17-5 run? And apparently Dame said they're getting punked and that they were getting that they were playing soft against the Clippers after giving up 47 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, that was one that you're like, okay, Dame should not have to be the one to do that. And especially you think about how frustrated he was last night. And this was something that I just sort of thought about. But so much of Dame's early career frustration stems from that series against Pelicans, right? Where he got trapped. He could do nothing. People were questioning whether he was the superstar athlete that he believed himself to be. I feel like he spent several years trying to disprove that narrative that was written during that Pelican series. The last two games that the Blazers got blown out were against the Bucks and then the Clippers. Drew Holiday is on the Bucks. Rajon Rondo is on the Clippers. Those are the same two players that absolutely decimated the Blazers, trapped Dame up high in that Pelican series years ago. So if I'm Damian Lillard, I'm not saying I haven't talked to him, so I don't know if this is the case, but with those two players in particular being the ones to thwart you and to have this negative impact on the narrative the Blazers are trying to build this season, it's got to feel like, whoa, we are spinning our tires and going nowhere.
Well, not just that, but then you had the Patrick Beverley and Paul George in the bubble last year.
And Paul George again when it was the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Bad shot, right?
Bad shot.
Yep. So, like, I can see why there was frustration outside of just, oh, they played like garbage last night on the defensive end of the floor. Look, we talked about this earlier. If you missed it, go on the Les Schwab Tires podcast or on the Odyssey app and check it out. But we talked about how the 133-116 loss, like, losses happened, but this is, you've gotten blown out by the best teams in the West. You are 1-7 and have been outscored by 104 points in those eight games. Like, these aren't even close. You're losing these games by an average of 13 points per game. And, like, so losing by 17 isn't some aberration. You've lost by 30, by 23, by 20. I mean, it's like blowout after blowout after blowout to these good teams in the Western Conference. And that has got to be wearing on these players.
The other answer that Norman gave last night that I thought was interesting, we've heard all season, defensive is a priority. We have to take it personally. We're going to hang our hat on the defensive end. They bring in Derek Jones Jr. They bring in Robert Covington. They have Yusuf Nurkic, albeit limited, but they have Yusuf Nurkic back in this lineup. This is, you look at this starting five, it's a starting five that shows priority on defense, right? Because of Rocco and because of Derek Jones Jr. Well, Dwight Janes of NBC Sports Northwest asked Norman Powell last night about playing on the Raptors because that was a very good defensive team. And so he said, you know, what are you seeing that's different maybe than what was happening in Toronto versus the culture here in Portland? And what Powell said is interesting. I think we hung our hats on the defensive end in Toronto. Nick Nurse and that coaching staff were really creative with different coverages, mixing it up, guys able to buy in on the defensive end where it would lead to everybody being able to contribute at the offensive end. That's just something that we've got to do here. Now, my question is, this has been a narrative for the Blazers since the offseason. They have said, we need to get better on defense. They signed Derek Jones Jr. They signed Robert Covington to get better on defense. So for Norman Powell coming in midway through the season and saying that's something we've got to do, to me the implication is it's not what he's seeing in his first week as a Portland Trailblazer.
In how many times have we discussed this, though, you know, as, you know, Blazer fans watching and hearing Robert Covington talk about, he is literally trying to direct traffic on the defensive end. Like, it's not that they don't know what to do. It's just for whatever reason, they get out there and it's just not happening. Like, and he's telling guys where to get, what position to get in. That is an issue. And ultimately that falls on Terry Stotts.
Yes.
Ultimately that also falls on Neil Olshey because this team has not gotten better on that defensive end. And it is, there is equal blame with those two right there, building the roster and implementing what you have. With Terry Stotts, with the pieces he's been given, he's going, well, I guess a three-guard lineup is what we're going to have to roll with here because we're not getting that. We just don't have the dogs on the defensive end to get it done. And that is unfortunate.
And it's
frustrating.
That's what I was going to say. It's so frustrating if you're a Blazers fan. And I get it. I find it frustrating just from hearing the frustration in players' voices. Like, they're aware of what's going on. It's what is it going to take to fix it? Because they thought they had some sort of answer when they brought in DJ, when they brought in Rocco. And for the first, 12 games that Nurk was available, they were 25th in the league in defense. Okay, so you can attribute some of that to chemistry. You can attribute some of that to Nurk not being 100%, which he admitted to. But since then, without Nurk, they've been 29th or 30th.
Yeah. I mean, this is a – it's not getting any easier for the Blazers right now. And look, this is who they are. They're a bad defensive team. I think we have seen enough. We've heard enough. They are just bad defensively. And when are we going to see something different? I don't know. It ain't going to be Thursday night against the Utah Jazz.
I think it has to be.
Different team? Are you expecting to see a different team?
I'm not expecting to see a different team. I'm expecting to see a different effort. 47 points in the first quarter is not just bad defense. That's effort.
Yeah. They came out and they got
said as much last night.
As Damian Lillard said, they got punked.
So it starts with that. But at this point in the season, with how much they have been prioritizing defense in their narrative, in their communication, in what they say they want to do better, I don't know how you can get punked in a game against one of the teams ahead of you in the West. In fact, one of the ones that if you really get on your game, you have a chance of catching.
Well, we got a good game tonight in the NBA, and it may give the Blazers a little bit of bailout. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app. Isaac Roppin here. He was ready to jump in with hot sports takes.
I know, and then you kicked him out. I was ready to hear what he had to say.
Well, I said, are you ready for some crosstalking? He said, no.
But then he was ready to acquiesce.
You asked him.
Well?
You said, do you want to come on? And he said,
Don't do that.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want him
Why?
To come
don't
on?
Do that, because he'll hijack it with Masters talk.
Oh, I love that. What is wrong with you guys? You guys the serenity of Augusta National and the beauty of golf?
I do. I'm not saying that.
Jeez.
Is there a women's tournament at Augusta?
Yes.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Huh.
When did that start up?
It's a pretty recent thing.
This year. Oh. This year. I know they played it this year.
Because women weren't allowed at Augusta National for quite some time.
Now, when was
many years
that African-Americans were allowed to play too at Augusta?
I don't know, man.
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know Ellie Slama from Oregon State. She has
gotten to be
Women's
Amateur 2021.
Yeah, she's gotten to play in that.
They started in 2019.
Yeah, and Ellie Slama has been there, I believe, both those years.
Jeez, the woke darkens over there.
It was only
2 years ago.
Man, yeah. I am so sorry for being woke one.
Look, they are listening, at least. I don't know. I like the Masters. It's a great golf tournament. They have the Augusta National Women's Amateur now. I don't know what you want from me. I like watching golf. It's beautiful on TV.
That's great.
I don't know why you're getting so defensive. Yeah. No one's attacking you.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying.
Who's attacking you?
These are facts,
okay?
Dusty.
Yeah, well, you didn't think they even had one, Will.
He was asking.
No. Yeah, I was leading you.
you.
Yeah, okay. My God.
Greatest press conference there, too, was when the director started commenting on Tiger Woods' private life. That was a good one.
When did that happen?
Right after he got in that car crash.
Oh.
I don't remember
that.
You don't?
That's
a huge thing. Yeah, he commented on, he alluded to like, oh, we're disappointed. I was like, okay.
Oh, what? I mean, I think we all were.
I don't remember. I don't know what you're referencing.
I don't know what you're talking about, Will.
It's right after Tiger Woods.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was right after Tiger Woods got in that crash after it was found out he was sexting all those women and getting in other relationships.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Masters, and then the director was like, yeah, we're really disappointed in him, and that's not becoming etiquette of the Masters.
Oh, it's like,
oh, cool. Oh.
So the guy who runs the golf club is kind of pretentious. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I'm so shocked. I'm so surprised. Masters starts tomorrow. Get your picks in. I for one, love it.
I love the Masters, too.
We've got a great basketball game tonight, and it may benefit the Blazers.
I actually think we have two great basketball games tonight. One is of more import to the Blazers, but I'm also looking forward to the Pelicans and the Nets.
Yeah. KD back.
KD's back.
Well, but then now Harden's out, so... Right. Go, what are they going to do?
Probably win again. Just like they have all season, because they've only played their three-star lineup 7 times.
Oh, my gosh. Are they going to be scary? Not, like this, with those three characters, it just says they're going to melt down, and I know it. I know it in my brain.
That's a take to end the show on.
Well, look, we know it with them. We know who the Nets are. The game that I'm interested in, Jazz Suns.
Also a very good game.
1-2 in the West.
The Blazers need to hope that is a track meet.
Yeah, and they hope they get worn out because that one in Phoenix. So the Jazz are going to be heading to Salt Lake. The Blazers are there waiting. So you get the number one team in the West versus the number two team in the West. In efficiency, number one versus number two again. You got a heavyweight bout on ESPN tonight.
Looking forward to it.
You going
to
come back tomorrow?
Is it Thursday? Yeah, I guess.
All right. I like it. Up next, we got Primetime with Isaac and Sook from 3 to 7. Have a great Wednesday. See you Thursday right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!